Again, looking at verse 19. But let's read verses 17 through 19 just to get our bearings, get the gist of what is being spoken here. After beseeching them to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they were called, the calling wherewith they were called, and giving them many things along that walk, that evidences a walk worthy of that calling, he gets to this part of the chapter and continues that same thought, only getting down and really digging into the way the old man used to live before salvation and the way he ought to live now after salvation. So he begins verse 17 saying, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as others Gentiles," as the unsaved, the heathen, "walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their mind." That is, they walk that way, alienated, and the blindness of their mind, the darkness of their mind, because of the blindness of their heart. As we looked at that thought last week, we saw that that was like a callous covering. Blindness, that word there, blindness in the Greek, that actually means a callous covering. And we all know what calluses are. And so, because the heart is calloused, who being past feeling, it only stands to reason that if the heart is calloused, that it can't feel. It's past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So, because their hearts are blinded, calloused, and their understanding darkened, they're ignorant, they're past feeling, he says. Their conscience does not condemn them because of their sin and the darkness that they are in and the blindness and the callousness of their heart. They're calloused over. Their conscience does not condemn them. They cease to feel. They are impotent of any moral conscience. And we really see that being played out in the day and time in which we live. As Christians are losing their thought and their light, while the ungodly are just becoming more ungodly in their wicked ways, in their evil ways. It ought to be a call to you and I to awaken. To waken up and be the salt that we were called to be and to be the light that we were called to be. But nonetheless, they're impotent of any moral conscience. They don't feel any reproach in what they do. You know, well, everybody else is doing it. What's wrong with it? It's just a way of life. It just, that which comes natural to me, they would say. Well, furthermore, when they're told, they're beyond the point of caring. They could care less because, well, what you're talking about is spiritual things. That's foolishness. They even doubt that there is a God. And those who give credence to a God, their concept of God is that, well, he's a loving God. And he wouldn't punish anyone. He wouldn't chastise anyone. So we can all just live as comes natural to us. They care less for anything spiritual. They care less for anything that does not serve their own selfish interest, their own selfish desires. I want to look at some passages of scriptures that might help us to understand this thought just a little more, and it actually even proclaimed to us back in the book of Proverbs. And whether Solomon wrote this portion of scripture or not is debatable with some. But nonetheless, we know it to be the Word of God. And if we go back to the 23rd chapter of the book of Proverbs and begin reading with verse 29, we'll get the idea here. And this is, ends up kind of speaking about the drunkard. But you'll get the idea. And this is not only applicable to the drunkard, it's applicable to all those who walk in the paths of sin and the wickedness of sin. He said in verse 29, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder." But now notice the effects of that bite and the sting that it has. But notice the effects upon this individual. "Thine eye shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things," wicked things. "Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast." The mast on a ship lies up on the top of the mast. Carefree. Caring about nothing. "They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I'll seek it yet again." I'll do it all over again. He said, I mean, that's how callous they are to it. All the stings and all the bites of that like serpent, of the wicked life which they live. And they say, "Oh, I'd do it again." It was so wonderful the first time, right? We'll do it again, they say. Turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, and Paul here, he's at Rome in the 28th chapter of the book of Acts. He's at Rome. And he's given license to speak, to preach, a day and a time in which he can come before the people. And verse 25, it says, "And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word." That doesn't mean he only spoke one word, as we would think one word. That means he spoke one saying of many words. And this is what his saying was. "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias, or Isaiah the prophet, unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. Why didn't they understand? They were callous. They were hard of hearing, you might say. We would say. And seeing ye shall see and not perceive. In other words, they don't really see. They see with their eyes, as we talked about this morning. Those towns of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, they witnessed the mighty works of God. They saw them with their eyes, but they did not perceive. They did not know the implication thereof, the meaning thereof, nor the power thereof. For the heart of this people is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. This was prophesied by Isaiah. And of course it was prophesied by Isaiah concerning Israel, concerning the people of God. It was spoken of by Paul to the Israelites, to those whom he preached to, and to Gentiles, and all, many who rejected. We know the nation of Israel by and large rejected the message. We know that many Gentiles, but praise God, many Gentiles did believe and receive it, but many Gentiles remain in unbelief. Why? Because they closed their eyes to it, they stopped up their ears, left with their hearts, they might believe. So, they were in darkness, they were in ignorance, the blindness of their heart, the callousness of their heart, they were past feeling. They could care less about it and what their end outcome was. Now turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy. In chapter 4. And of course, Paul here is speaking to, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, speaking to the young preacher Timothy, and telling him how to be, and telling him how it will be in the last days, which the apostles said they were there then, John said they were there then, in the last days. And so if they were in the last days 2,000 years ago, where are we today? We're even much closer to the last of the last days, are we not? He said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. In other words, they have the faith, but they've departed from it. That is, they're not holding to the whole system of faith, the whole truth of the faith. They're still saved, but they're not living a life of faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've forsaken some of the doctrine, some of the teaching. They've even forsaken living a life that is manifesting their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they give heed to seducing spirits, which are evil spirits, by the way, and doctrines of devils. They're pulled away by the false teaching and preaching of Satan's pastors, shall we say, instead of the pastors of the Lord. Verse 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared. Here's the part we want to get to. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What happens when you sear any part of your body with a hot iron? It gets calloused over, and once the hurt stops and the blister is gone, that part of it is kind of past feeling. It's seared over with a hot iron. Like, I always like to use the likeness of, because I come from a farming community where they used to brand the cattle. They take a hot iron and stick their brand on the hide of the cattle. And that would burn into the cattle, but it when the hurt stopped, it'd be past feeling. It was seared over with a hot iron, as the apostle uses here. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And of course, we see the likeness in today's world. And actually, we can go back and think about when it started in the late 200s, early 300s, and was getting going, and they forbid their priests to marry, and commanding the abstaining from certain meats on certain days, and everything which God said He created to be received with thanksgiving. You see. But the point is it fits our scripture, their conscience are seared over with a hot iron. It is calloused. In our text He uses, the heart being calloused over, and so it's past feeling. So He goes on to say in our verse 19, so they have given themselves over unto the lascivious because you understand, because their understanding is darkened, they're alienated from the life of God, and they're strangers to it. Their heart is calloused. Their conscience is calloused. They're past feeling. And they've given themselves over, He said, to lasciviousness. And mind you, He's telling us Christians. He's telling the members of the church at Ephesus. He's telling us today in the Lord's church that we're not to be as those as the unsaved are. We're to be different. We're not to walk as though our understanding is darkened. We're not to walk as though we're strangers to the promises of God. We're not to walk as though we're ignorant of the truth of God's Word. We ought not to walk as though, I don't have no feeling for you. Do we have feeling for the things of God? Are we passionate about the things of God? Or are we past feeling? Past being able to feel. Have we gone so far that we can't feel stirred about the things of God and about a life being lived in His presence and for His glory and for His praise? You see, this word lasciviousness actually means unbridled lust, uncontrolled lust. They have a desire for whatever their desire leans for, and it's forbidden of God, but they don't know anything about the things of God because they're strangers to the things of God. I mean, they see it, they want it, it feels good, they're going to do it. How shameful. How shameful that there are some who call themselves children of God sitting in the pews of our churches who walk in that manner. In that light, uncontrolled, unrestrained, just following the desires and passions of their heart. Turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter in chapter 2. And look at some verses here. It said in verse 7, it said, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Do you feel as though you're vexed with the manner of life of the wicked all around us, all about us? Or do you, oh well, you know, that's the way our world is today. And so. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. That tells me, because the application here and the context here is talking about just Lot. Lot dwelt in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around that were so wicked and all the wickedness that prevailed about him, but he was delivered out of that. He did not taint his life with their ungodly deeds and pleasures. Yet we know he lost his children to it, bringing them up in that kind of wickedness and in that kind, with the influence of that kind of evil, and possibly didn't talk and restrain them enough, telling them about the things of God and what God had delivered them from. But God delivered Lot out of the midst of the ungodly. We know how that he delivered Lot out of the city. He took him right out of the city before he destroyed him. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of the clean, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Here we have the description of people who are uncontrolled. They're unbridled. They're unrestrained in their lust and their desires. Boy, don't we see it today? People working all manner of wickedness. I have never before lived in a day when I've seen the assault upon our establishments of law as we're seeing it in this country today. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not. You see, they don't understand the things of God, and so to them it's evil. We're evil to them. Their way is right. Oh, that was prophesied of in the Scriptures, wasn't it? Who call evil good and good evil? That's our day and time. And shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the sons of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of the darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Through much wantonness. Much lack. Why? Wow, they're calloused. They're calloused over. Their consciences are calloused. Their heart is calloused. Their past feeling. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. You see, here we have a host of different unbridled, unrestrained lust. They walk in lasciviousness. The wicked walk in unlasciviousness and unrighteousness and unholiness. They're strangers to the things of God. Turn with me now to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians in chapter 5. And we read in verse 19, more exhortation, more admonition to the people of God, to the churches of Galatia, and to the churches of our day and time, if they will hear, if they will listen, if they will have eyes to see, ears to hear. Verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, unbridled lust, unrestrained lust, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Those passions and desires of the flesh that we read to you that said that works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, idolatry, which we learned about idolatry this morning in Sunday school. It is basically for us today, it is covetousness. And it was in the Old Testament. It was covetousness. They weren't satisfied with what God had done. They weren't satisfied with trusting God. But they wanted more. They wanted something more. They wanted to be like Joe Blow down the road. Or Jim Scott over yonder. They weren't satisfied with the things of God. And so, in the New Testament, we're told twice, in the Ephesians chapter 5 and in Colossians chapter 3, that covetousness, which is idolatry, you see. The child of God ought to put those things out, ought to crucify those things, put them behind him. And that's what we're being told in our text today in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. Turn with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, chapter 1. Let's begin with verse 3 here. I want verse 4, but just to let you know what he's speaking about here. Beloved, When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, salvation is not common, but it's those of us that have salvation, it's the same faith, it's the same message by which I was saved, you were saved, if you're saved, it's that same message, so it's common to you and I. You see, the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. That system of faith, the gospel, by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It's not like the Nicolaitans say that, well, after you're saved, the law is not in effect any longer, and we can just do anything we want because we're not answerable to the law of God. Well, that's falsehood. Nowhere in Scripture do we find that being taught. And Jude is addressing that issue. To earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. No, look what he said in verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained. They're men that come in, they join us, and man, they sound good, they look good, they seem to have a good testimony, but they've come in unawares. Really, they're appear to be sheep, but they're wolves in sheep's clothing. You got the likeness there. Wolves in sheep's clothing. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. These men come in, they're not believing the truth, they're persuaded otherwise, and they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, either by the doctrine which they preach or and teach, or by the life by which they live. They appear outwardly to be Christians. They appear outwardly to have been saved. They appear outwardly to have repented of their sins in Christ Jesus, but their life denies it. Because their life is full of uncontrolled, unrestrained lust. They do not walk in the light of the Lord and in a way that is pleasing to Him. So these that is being referenced in our text, they gave themselves over to these uncontrolled urges so that they might work all uncleanness with greediness. Never satisfied. You know Christians like that? Never satisfied. Always wanting more. And in the context of Scripture, not caring who they hurt in the process. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Book of Romans. Read a very familiar portion of Scripture. Romans chapter 1. In verse 24 through 27. Wherefore, because they walked in these uncontrolled urges and always, never satisfied, always wanting more, they were covetous. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. God gave them over to unbridled, uncontrolled, unrestrained lust. Anything that looked good, felt good, that they did. Turn with me, last of all, to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. In verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous, you that are saved, you that are members of Grace Baptist Church or one of the Lord's churches somewhere, know ye not that the righteous shall not inherit the king, the unrighteous? Excuse me. Let me read that right. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Don't you know that? Don't you know that today, oh Christian friend, oh member of the Lord's church, don't you know that today, that these people will not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, why do you want to walk in that manner? That is basically what Paul is saying to us in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. Why do you want to walk after the way of the unsaved? The ungodly way of the unsaved. It's not becoming to a child of God. Notice what he says here. Verse 11, and such were some of you. Notice the language there. And such were some of you. Yes, we all were some of them before salvation. But the key word there is were. We shouldn't be anymore. You see, we ought to be, when those desires and passions creep up, we ought to crucify them. Get behind me, Satan. Submit. James 4 tells us, submit to God. Be obedient to Him. Yield to him and the devil, Satan, will flee from you. That is our message this afternoon. So let us stand.